What is the flipping story, homies? I'm just back from the gym there. I just twinged my back. I don't know what I've done. It's the last week, I've had some feckin' lower back issues just creep on in there. And I've had them in the past, like, you know, but I thought, like, you know, as long as I kind of stayed away from doing, like, double leg back squats and deadlifts from the floor, that I would have managed to avoid injuring my back up. But it doesn't seem to be the way. It's like I'm a dad now. I'm an old man. And I just get injured from picking shit up. No, that's obviously not the case. You know what I mean? I'm a young, vibrant 31-year-old man. But I just fucking, yeah, my back, man. My back has just been fucking gnawing the shit out of me. No, it's not. Very bad. I just rubbed some of the Ethos fucking CBD repair cream onto it there. Like, you know, like, obviously that's not going to fix everything in my back. Like, there's something that's going on there. Like, you know, on a kind of a structural musculoskeletal level. Like, you know, I have to suss something out. So I'm just going to massage it. A bit of myofascial release there. Like, you know, get into the fascia. I love that word. Fascia. Yeah, it's really good. It's like, you know, tissue, like, you know, get into that fascia with my fingers and my massage ball and the repair cream. And sure, look, that's basically all I can do. The back is such a weird one, isn't it? Like, when your back gets injured, you feel like, okay, stop doing things. And that's what actually happened today. I was in the gym doing my strength work, and I was actually a good few sets in. I think I did some Romanian deadlifts, and I might have just I knew I was lifting a bit too heavy. I haven't been doing very many Romanian deadlifts, and I put too much weight on, and I didn't probably warm up properly as well. You know, I didn't warm up with a proper warm up sets and back extensions and more movement to get the posterior chain working a bit, like, you know. So it's my fault, obviously, that my back is the way it is. So I just have to be cognizant of that. I can't go in and just be lifting mad weight, like, you know. And when I mean lifting mad weight, it's like 70 kilos or something, you know what I mean? Kind of straight leg deadlifts, like RDLs. I just have to be a bit more cognizant of the fact that I haven't been lifting heavy weights lately. I've been running an awful lot more. And that, you know, lifting super heavy weights kind of out of the blue is never really a good idea. So, and I mean heavy for you. So, like, whatever, you know, whatever weight you're lifting there now for whatever particular exercise, don't go like doing like I did today and just jump up 10 or 15 kilos out of nowhere and just expect to be grand. I just felt it go, and like, immediately once I felt my back, I didn't actually feel it get sore during the Romanian deadlifts. I felt it get kind of sore, sorry, when I was doing my hamstring bridges, right, which I recommend every runner to start doing, is the hamstring bridges. But I had obviously hurt something in my back doing the deadlifts, and the hamstring bridge basically inflamed it, or like, basically, you know, started hurting me, basically. And I knew then straight away. I was like, right, okay, that's it. Don't try and do any more. Don't think, oh yeah, we can do this exercise, that exercise, it won't hurt the back, and this, that, and the other. No, when it's my back, I'm just like, get out of the gym. And it's not, I'm not like getting out of the gym so that I can just sit down and do fuck all. I am going to try and actively repair the back. So I'm going to put a bit of heat on it by getting into a nice hot bath there now in a while. As I said, I went at it with the repair cream, and I found two spots that were really tight to the touch with my thumb in my lower back and in my upper glute. And I was like, right, that's it there now, you know. And that's the thing about when we're training and we're trying to, and we've got a goal and we've got things that we want to do and achieve, we think, oh no, I couldn't finish my strength session now because of this. You know, I need to get my strength session done, so I'm just going to work and work even though I'm feeling this pain in my back. No, Don't do that, whatever you do. If you feel like you've injured something while you're in training, that day, as far as I'm concerned, has turned from a strength and conditioning day into a kind of repair and recovery day. You need to just, whatever is injured or whatever is bothering you right then and there, you don't know the extent of it, because if your body is warmed up and you've got the blood pumping, you might not know the full extent of the injury that you're after causing until you cool down. So that's the reason why, because you're still warm now, your body's still active, and it's still kind of in that zone where it's working hard. So definitely back off if you feel that come true, because that's just something that I've learned over my years. Like, it'll be grand, I'll keep doing my sessions, and then I can barely fucking get up off the chair, you know what I mean? Because I have had my lower back come at me a few times over the years. It hasn't been has not been at all a very bothersome area for me. I do an awful lot of posterior chain exercises, but today I just overcooked it. I just didn't do what I was supposed to be doing, and that was warm it up. Don't go too heavy on the weight. I'm done with lifting heavy. There's my dog is just after coming home and coming in to say hello to me. Hello, Sula. I'm finished with lifting heavy, right? But I'm definitely going to be a lot more incremental with how I lift weights from now on, because I can't take that chance anymore. I can't be injured. So if that's any bit of advice or a bit of experience that I can pass on to anybody that's training for something, I think I've been training hard for one thing or another for around 13 years, right? So I feel like I have a good experience in pushing myself hard and pushing myself to do things that are difficult, right? But what I've learned from that is you do run the risk of getting injured, you know, quite a lot. That's just part of it. And what is best to do when you get an injury? I mean, if you feel a new injury that's after creeping up that day, back off. Back the fuck off. Don't go fucking trying to keep on going through your strength and conditioning program. Just go, right, okay, that doesn't feel right. Today is not the day to just keep pushing through a pain, right? And then when you cool down, assess it. Go, right, is it as bad? Is it bad? Is it worse than I thought? Is it better than I thought? How do we, how do we get over this? And So once you've done that diagnosis, right? So once you've done the diagnosis of, okay, that's a bit more injured than I thought it was going to be. It's caused me quite a lot of pain, right? Then what can we do? Can we do some myofascial release? Can we do some self-massage? Can we do some massage with the massage ball? Can we apply some heat? Can we apply some cold? Can we get into cold water therapy? Can we put an ice pack on it? Can we do something to either reduce inflammation or else get some oxygenated blood flow into that? That's first and foremost, right? For me, that's what I do. I assess where I'm going for that, you know? And I think it's for joints and like bone, like stuff that's near bone, it's apply heat. And then for something like that's a large bit of meaty kind of muscle, it's more cold. That's what I do when these things crop up, because it's like, right, it's not a waste of a day, and I don't feel like I've wasted a day of strength and conditioning at all. It's just my body telling me this needs attention. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I just backed off straight away. Once I felt that kind of, there was that pain, that shooting pain that happened. And I was like, right, okay, that's not right. That shouldn't be happening. We'll back off. So I just got up and I went. And when I got home, then I was like, right, okay, yeah, I got out of the car. I felt this twinge again. And I said, you know what? Let's try and see what we can do. Can we do some massage? Can we get some blood flow into there? And I'm going to go for a bath in a while as well. Bring some heat into there. And just try and be good to myself. Eat good food. Drink loads of water. That kind of thing, you know. But it's that's again, that part of that experience of when I would come across these injuries or these challenges that would come through, I just try and push through all the time. And look, I think I have some long-term injuries now because of that, where I constantly have to manage throughout my training blocks, and I just don't want any more of those. So that's why I'm always cognizant of trying to keep these things under control as they arise, you know. But other than that, training is going fantastically well. I hit a PB, a huge PB for 5K. I mean, there was nobody more surprised than me, really, in many ways, at that 5K. I always have a good self-belief in myself, but I always try to be more realistic now, you know, and just kind of think, right, okay, where do we think that we are, right? So, like, the last time I did this 20-minute test, right, a 20-minute test for thresholds, last time I tried to run as fast as I could for, let's say, a 20-minute period, I did it in 1958, and that was the start of October. I'd have to check back, but I think it's the start of October, right? So from the start of October to the end of November, so let's say 7 to 8 weeks, I went from 1958, right, which really was me just actually at the very beginning of this training block. I had done no speed work, no speed training. I'd done very little training really whatsoever since Project 32. I didn't do weight training or any speed training. And I ate loads of food. I gained a little bit of weight and everything. So there was lots of things that would have, let's say, worked against me in trying to get the fast 5K, right? So then in about 7 or 8 weeks of a difference, to run my fastest 5K by a country mile, I was incredibly pleased. I was so proud of myself, actually, to be honest with you, that I was able to actually do that. So, like, I remember coming around for, we'll go through the whole thing, because that's what today's kind of podcast is really on, is the mental side of hard training, tough training where you're at the red line, training where you're kind of, you're at the real edge of your physical capabilities in terms of high intensity training, and the mental game that is played during those types of sessions, and that how the mastery of, or not even the mastery of, but the practicing of the mental side of those shorter, higher intensity sessions actually feed in and fuel our longer events and challenges, right? And this is everything throughout life. It's not just running training or anything like that. It could be literally anything to do with what you're trying to do with life. Learn a new language, get promoted in work, be a better parent, be a better partner, try to make it to more spinning classes. Anything, whatever you're trying to do in life, the mental game is huge, and it's a huge part of the whole thing, and especially for during the sessions themselves, is to stay locked in, to stay conscious of the goal, of the purpose of what you're doing. That is incredibly important, because the physical side of things, right? And I think maybe I showed myself that in the 5K time trial, was you're physically probably far more capable than you think. It's the mental side that often inhibits us, right? It's the mental side that almost that makes us, fills us with fear, with doubts. I had this with my hill repeat session yesterday as well, filled with fear of how tired I was going to feel, and how sore and how burny my lungs were going to be, and how burning my legs were going to be. I was filled with fear with that, and I was also filled with fear of not performing well, because I had performed so well in this 5K time trial on Sunday. I was like, I have to perform well now in this hill repeat session, right? Whatever, you know. So all of these things that are completely normal, completely human for us to feel. How do we get, you know, get a better relationship with the mental game, the mental side of doing these types of things, hard things, difficult things that are going to be that are going to take an awful lot out of us. Because, like, for me, let's say the 5K effort was 16, but let's say the bones of 17 minutes of hardest running I could do for that period of time, right? That's the hardest I could have ran for that period of time, you know, at the time that I thought. I'm not limited by that. I'm sure that I will run faster than that at some point in time. But that's what I was at. I was at that red line. I was just at the cusp of the red line. I was redlining for that 5K where I was like, do you know when you're in your car and it bounces off the limiter, let's say, right? If you're so inclined to get into first or second gear and drive the arse off the car, hits that red line and it bops off the red line. That's what was happening to me when I was running the 5K. So I'm going to explain the mental game, what I use. The elements that I use during these kind of types of sessions, by literally taking you through the day of and the actual run for that 5K. It's a perfect example. It's a perfect example because there's so many thoughts and fears and all types of stuff that go through it. And even after the run, you have another game and you have another battle, right? And I'll go through that as well, right? So in the days leading up to this 5K, right, I was thinking an awful lot about it because, look, it's 5 kilometers of running as fast as you can. It's like a race, really, a race against yourself and nobody else, right? Which is sometimes some of the toughest thing to do because you've no one else to base yourself off, only you. Right, so the days leading up to this 5K time trial, this 5K max effort, I was thinking about it, and I was going, right, we did the 20-minute run there about 7 or 8 weeks ago, and we got 19:58. So look, would love to see 18 something. That's what I thought, right? This is another thing I didn't pace myself for that. I didn't pace myself to go 18 something. I paced myself to go 16 something, right? Without me even knowing it at the start. But that's what I was kind of thinking in the mental game. But I now realize that I do this sometimes is soft goal setting. We often do it as human beings. We set these soft goals instead of trying to lead in with a really hard goal, a goal that is, you know, you could fail at or you could succeed at. I felt like, right, if I go to 18 something, I'll be happy out with that. So 18:59 was to me a success, right? But that, like, looking back, and this is just in hindsight, at the time I didn't know that I was doing that, but I was just realistic, like, right, knocking a minute off of the 5K would be a pretty good thing to do if you're at a sub 20 minute 5K. It'd be a pretty cool thing to do, right, is to knock that down a bit. And so that's what I was thinking going up to it was, okay, I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to just run, go out there and run as fast as I can for 5K. That's basically it. And I didn't really say, okay, I'm going to keep a particular pace. I said, you'll know when I hop out there and I start running, I think I have an idea of the pace that I could run for 5K when I hit it. I've no idea what that is, but when I hit it, I'll know. So I went out to the track, I warmed up, I was getting my breathing going, I was checking my posture, checking my cadence, my stride, I was, you know, basically mentally preparing myself for this all-out effort, right? And just to get me to the start of it, because that's when the mental game actually begins, really, is the start. So you're beginning this mental game by getting yourself ready to know that you are going to hurt and suffer for this next while, but that it's, you know, it will come to an end, right? And you will be able to get to the end of it. So I'm doing my warm up, I'm assuring myself that I'm going to be able to do it, that I'm going to be successful, and that it's going to be a great run. So I start the 5K and I head out quite fast. I start going down the straight side of the track. I just did it on the track in Greystones. I started going down the straight side of the track. And I was going quite fast, and then I turned the corner and went back up the other side. And I was still going quite fast, but not feeling uncomfortable doing that. And came around the other looped side of the track. Felt good. Went around to do the second lap. And I'm like, okay, I'm into my second lap. Going around, and I come all the way back around. I'm still going fast, and I hit the basically the 800 meter mark. And I'm like, I'm going to do a fast kilometer here. Like, you know, I'm not absolutely fucked here, and I'm doing this kilometer. So I come around and I hit the 1 kilometer mark, and I look and I hear the beep of my watch, and I look at the watch. That was basically the only time I said that I was going to look at the watch. I'm just going to run hard, and I'm going to run for as hard as I think is possible for these kilometers, right? So each kilometer, I'm just going to run as hard as I can for that kilometer with the other kilometers in mind. Right, with the other kilometers in mind, I'm going to run as hard as I can. That's what I was thinking. So I looked at the watch, bing, 3:15. Right, I was like, holy shit, that's fucking really good, Connor. But there was another side to me thinking, okay, you're overcooking this. You're overcooking. If that's 3:15, like that's really, you know, a bit too fast. And I goes, right. You feel good, you feel strong, and then I kept on going. Did the same thing. Bing, I saw 3:21, right? I was like, 3:21? That's still under 3:30 for a kilometer, and you're feeling good, and you're in and around the same amount of time. And then I'm going around then to start my, let's say, the third kilometer, which is always a big mental game, because in that, you'll hit the halfway point. So you'll hit the halfway point of 2.5 kilometers. And when you're on the track, you kind of know when you're at in and around that time. But I still didn't want to check the watch. I just said, run hard. Just run hard for this 1 kilometer, and we'll see what time comes out. Bing, 3:27. So I'm under 3:30 again. And I'm like, I'm feeling okay. I'm really huffing and puffing here, and I'm feeling so kind of, you know, feeling good. But then the mental side comes in, right? And it's very sneaky sometimes. For me anyway, I don't know what it is about for you guys, but it's very sneaky, right? And what it says to me is, even if you slowed up here now and you slowed up and took your time, you're still going to do an amazing time. Even if you slow up, you're still going to do an amazing time, right? That's what crept into my head. And that's that part of us that wants to keep us safe. That's our survival mechanism. That's our cave person brain coming in, trying to keep us safe, to not push ourselves into the zone of discomfort, to get us out of the comfort zone. That's what came in, right? That is when you need to be able to combat that and stay in the mental game, because your body's working hard, right? Your body is working very, very hard. And so because it is working hard, it doesn't want to do that. It doesn't want to do that. My body in my caveman persona thinks that I'm chasing something down or that I'm running away from something, right? So it's a high stress situation is what my body thinks I'm going through right now. It thinks I'm running from something or I'm running to catch something to eat, to survive, right? So it will, as long as if the threat is gone, so whatever's chasing me is gone or the meal is caught, I don't need to run anymore. But it's sending me that signal, and that's when the mind game needs to change. So how I usually combat those types of ideas, those types of thoughts that come in that try to limit us and limit me, I use a quick mantra or a quick affirmation, right, that basically re-stimulates what was there when I first started the run, right? So the mental side of things when I first started run was, run as hard as you can for 5K. When you're 3K in, it's telling you, oh, even if you slow up now a bit here, you'll still do a pretty good time. That's that limiting factor coming in, right? So it's our mind, our mental side of things limiting us from what we really want, from what we really want to achieve out of things. That's, it's limiting us, right? So what I'm what I said to myself when I was going around the track was, and it's one that I've used a number of times, is stay in the game. Stay in the game means stay playing the game you want to play, right? And that is running the fastest 5K you can, right? Because it's just like a team sport, and you're on a pitch, you're on a field, is keeping your, like, you know, that saying, keep your head in the game, right? Keep your head in the game means don't let it drift anywhere else. Don't let it drift to, we're down 3-1. We've only 20 minutes left. Like, chances are we're going to lose this match. Like, that's the mental side of things. That's your body sending you that message into your head that makes sense, that stops you from putting in the effort, the maximal effort that you can, right? Those types of thoughts. It's 3-1, 20 minutes left. You're out of the game. Your head is, that's, you ever hear people or commentators, they go, look, their head was out of the game after halftime, you know? That's really what that means. And when I'm doing a hard session, I want to stay with my head in the game, right? I don't want to let those thoughts that are like going to limit me and stop me from achieving what I want to achieve from creeping in. So I just say, stay in the game. Stay in the game means as well that I want to drop out of my head. So I'm in my head thinking, okay, even if you slow down now, you'd still do a good time. That's me in my head. When I say stay in the game, that means come out of the head, drop down into your body and control what you can control. So that's, the head is going to go wherever it is allowed to go, right? But just by that simple mantra and that simple affirmation, that's me reminding myself, okay, you're in your head right now, drop down out of your head and into your body. Because that's the area of control, right? That means you drop into your body and you think about your breathing, you think about your posture, you think about your cadence, you think about things you can control, you think about your arms, keeping them tidy, keeping them uniform, you think about your footsteps, you think about, okay, landing with the forefoot, keeping that fast rhythm going, you think about that breath, nice, even, steady breaths, fueling you, fueling, right, staying in the game. All it is staying in the game now for another couple of minutes, right? Boom, stay in the game. You hit that 4 kilometers. I hit 4 kilometers. I hit 3:27 again. So I'm still under 3:30 per kilometer. This is madness, right? And I go, okay, stay in the game. One last kilometer, stay in the game. That's all you have to do. One more kilometer, stay in the game. And I just booked it. And I remember breaking because I was conscious of that I was doing a really, really good time. I was like, sub 17 isn't out of the way here, right? So I was kind of already thinking about the goal, which really I shouldn't be doing. I should be thinking about how do I maximize what I'm doing at that moment in time. But I looked at my watch and it was 4:72. So I had 280 meters left. And so I just picked it up. I said, there's 280 meters here now. Go flat out, balls to the wall for that 280 meters. And I ended with 3:20 as my last kilometer. And I ended in 16:55. And I would not have finished with that time had I not used those affirmations, used those mantras. And the mantra is nothing unless it has a connection to a change in behavior. Right, so you can say whatever you want, right? Well, I have these mantras or these affirmations. You can say whatever you want, but if it doesn't connect to an action, if it doesn't connect to an action, or it doesn't connect to a change within your physiology or your mindset, it doesn't mean a thing. You can say all the things you want to do. When I say something like "stay in the game," that means stay in the run. Be in your body, right? Think about the things you can control right now in the achievement of this goal. That's what that means. It doesn't mean stay in the game. Okay, yeah, I will. I'll stay in the game. Yeah. I'm just going to have a big chat in my own head here now about staying in the game, and that's all good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm in the game. I'm in the game, guys. No. Stay in the game means get into the run. Get into the body. Listen to your breath. Feel your body. Use what you can use. Think about that posture, keeping yourself nice and tidy, keeping yourself straight, back straight up, head out in front, breathing. That's all of those things is a reminder of that. And then when I finished and I got 16:55, I was like, holy shit. You know, class. I was fucking delighted and I'm still delighted, right? But then, and then you leave that huge success and this huge surprise really for me. And I'm not going to say, you know, oh, I'm not surprised. I was surprised, even though I've been super committed over the last 8 weeks, that's still a huge jump in 8 weeks, like ginormous, right? And so what I feel like, then afterwards I was feeling, okay, now I have to keep this going. And I have to, I want to feel this again. I want to have these capabilities. I want to hone this craft. I want to use this because I've never been able to run like really fast before. And that I think that is really fast. 16:55. It might be super slow to a lot of people that are running, you know, that are doing high level elite running. But it's very fast for me. And so I want to maintain that. I want to keep it. And that's the thing about getting something that you really love is this fear of losing it, right? So I'm going to have battles with that. I'm sure is like, you know, if you have a tired training session, you're like, Jesus, I'm struggling to hold 4 minute kilometers here, and I was holding, you know, 3:23 on the track there the other day. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to allow for the process, and you have to allow for up days and down days, especially when you have something like a success like that, and you set these new parameters, you know. So, that's the thing. Hello, how are we? My lovely son and Mel are in the room. You can change him here if you want. Yeah, change him up there. So my podcast studio is also our son's nursery. So we have to share the space sometimes. So there's no problem. I was thinking about that side of things of not wanting to lose it over the last 2 days. And then on Tuesday, yesterday, I had my hill repeats session, which is another... much shorter, but it's another all out exertion, right? And you know from the start, before you start, that you're doing an all out uphill exertion, which means you're going to be tired, you're going to get those burning lungs, you might get those burning legs, lactic acid in the legs, you might get those things, right? But and there's a fear and or doubt attached to those types of sessions, right? Because you're like, oh my God, I know I'm going to be super tired and super and probably in a lot of discomfort. And the one thing we don't want to do is give ourselves a hard time for feeling a bit like, oh Jesus, daunted by these sessions. Because again, that's our cave person brain coming into to play again. It's trying to keep us safe. It's trying to keep us from getting into those uncomfortable situations. So first and foremost, all of those types of sessions or anything like a big meeting, a big presentation that we have in work, or we have a big event of some kind, all of these things will have that kind of daunting or fear or doubt attached to them, because that's what we are designed to do. We're designed to keep ourselves safe. We're designed to judge things, judge ourselves, judge situations, all of this kind of stuff to keep us safe. So it's completely normal to feel daunted by sessions like that, you know. And I love it while I'm in it. When I'm in the sessions, I'm loving it. I'm like, all right, we just have to give 5 solid, solid efforts here now. And that's our whole session kind of done really within those 5 solid efforts, right? But that is it again, where you're like, all right, I was running, I warmed up, and then I got to the start of the hill to where I was doing my hill sprints, and the beeper went for the first 1 minute set, and I just took off. I think I was doing around between 3:07 and 3:25 minute kilometer pace up for 1 minute up the hill, right? And when I was getting about 30 or 45 seconds in, I was like, when is this watch going to beep? And the second I started to think about, oh, when is this watch going to beep, I actually felt myself slowing down. If you look at the charts from my run yesterday, in the high exertion sets, there's a high exertion, a dip in the middle and then another high exertion, right? So that's basically, right, that little dip in the middle is basically when I started to get into my own head and started to go, oh my God, when is this going, when is the watch gonna go so I can stop going fucking flat out up this hill, basically. And as soon as I said, stay in the game, that is, bite down on the bit, give as hard as you possibly can, that's all you can control, is going as hard as possible for 60 seconds. Just belt it out for that time, then it ticks down, my watch ticks down the last 5 seconds of every set, of every running set, right? So it started going beep, 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 and I was going hard as possible for that, those beeps, to bring it right through to the end. And that's it. And that's what this idea of having that body-mind connection is, right? If we're in our own head and we're overthinking things, can we say something? Can we develop some sort of a mantra or some sort of affirmation that drops us back into our body, drops us back into things that we can control? So I use things like that, like stay in the game when I'm doing my harder sessions. When I'm doing my really hard sessions, I use stay in the game. Or when I'm deep into a long run, hello, hello the baby. Hello, I'll give you a kiss. Mwah. That was my son calling into the podcast. He'll be a future guest, no doubt. But if I can drop myself back into my body, I can drop myself back into the control, and that's how I'm able to bring those sessions home, give myself max efforts for that time. Because when we get it out of our own head and we drop into our body, then we're into the zone of control, and we can control what we do there. And even late into longer challenges, like, you know, doing the sub 3 hour marathon, I'm sure there's loads of times where I'm just going to be like, stay in the game. Don't worry about all that other shit that's in your head now. Stay in the game. Drop back into your body. Stay with the pace. Stay with the cadence. Stay with the flow, right? And I'm sure that I will be doing that, right? So that's why I'm so passionate about these, is because I know they work and I've used them loads of times. And that's the thing, it's practicing that. Okay, boom, pull it back into the body, stay in the game, pull it back into the body, finish out these sessions strong. And that's the thing about these sessions along a goal, any one session will not make or break your entire goal or your entire training program. But if we can employ these mind games, this the mental game, the mental side of it, if we can apply that in every single training session, I guarantee you we will be able to apply it when it means the most and when we want to achieve our goal or we want to bring something home, we will be able to call upon them and we will be able to use them. And deep into an ultra marathon or deep into that sub 3 hour marathon effort, I'm going to use them and I'm going to bring myself back into my body. So that's just a portion about that use of affirmations, that the affirmation or the mantra itself means nothing, absolutely nothing, without that physical link. What do these words mean? These words mean back into our body, right? That would even be a good mantra, back into our body. So if you go back into our body, boom, we're back into our body, we're out of our head, we're thinking about what our body is doing, right? And this is the thing that, it can be used for so many different things, so many different things. If you've got an event or a presentation, or you've got something like an interview, you've got something that you're leading up to, right? And you're overthinking and you're in a tizzy about it. You go right back into the body. Boom, we're here. Okay, what can we do now? What can we do to achieve this goal? What can we do to prepare for this interview, for this presentation, for whatever that case may be? Okay, so that to me is probably one of the most powerful tools that I have in the mental game, is that use of those. So and that connection and just getting out of the head, getting out of your own head and getting out of your own way. So I hope this was useful, and I hope that you will use it going forward. Thank you so much to all the patrons of the podcast, for the for signing up to be a patron and be a part of the Patreon, because I'm going to be bringing on some lovely guests next month, so it will be fantastic, you know, to have those guests come on. So I appreciate your listenership, thank you so much for being here with me, and as always, I'm going to leave you with peace and love from Con.